Off the Ball Breakfast.
I have not seen a minute of this tournament.
That's what the cool kids say these days.
Genuinely haven't.
Everyone's saying that. I haven't seen a second of it.
It's not a thing. It hasn't even...
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
Micheál Cahill, Limerick head coach. Always a good time to be talking when it's July and you're doing press events. It's a good sign.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
Yeah, Limerick are motoring so well this year. You won a Division 4 title back in end of March, start of April. You had a Munster clash against Cork very quickly afterwards, and you got into your Tatcha Cup campaign after that. And you've won five on the bounce, and now we're facing Kildare. And we're talking 10 days out, but it'll be very close to the final itself when it airs. How have you found this year being back involved in intercounty football?
Yeah, look, it's been, for me, it's been brilliant. I think the new rules have been a breath of fresh air. It's just the only phrase I use to describe it. They've just unlocked some of the key traits and talents of some of the best footballers ever played a sport. You know, you're high fielding, you're 1v1, not only attacking but also defending as well. And I think those aspects have just added so much to the game.
You're a Limerick native. You'd have played football in around 08, 09 with the Limerick 21s, but you would have got involved in the coaching very quickly after that. I know Micheál McDermott would have got you involved with Clare back in the day, and
yeah,
you went away to America for a while. We might come back to that in a second. And Colin Collins roped you back into Clare, yeah, so you got another year then. So you've had kind of three very different eras of football that you've been involved in.
Yeah.
Can you talk to us a little bit about the difference that you're seeing from 11 to 20 to 25? Now, what are you seeing, 21 or 2 and 25?
Yeah, I suppose, look, I was very lucky. I probably pivoted towards coaching at a young age, and I was very lucky to go in with Micheál McDermott with Clare. Probably gave me my first shot, and it was followed on then by Mick O'Dwyer. So there was a few years between us, between me and Mick O. But again, brilliant, learn an awful lot from both of them. I suppose I probably had a little bit more of an S&C focus then as well. S&C mightn't have been as popular. But yeah, look, I was very lucky to... I probably spent a decade living in Dallas, but across work, studying across three different continents between New Zealand, Texas and Ireland. So
I'm working with different sports teams and different athletes all along the way.
Very lucky, yeah. We had about 750 athletes across 21 different sports. So, look, I think, like, for me, the best exposure I got in that 10 years is probably exposure to different sports. You know, for example, I probably learned more about defence and football from lacrosse, field hockey and basketball. And just working and speaking with coaches, like, for 10 years, it was always a matter of when I was coming home, not if I was coming home. So I've notebooks full of how some of these skills will transcend across to other sports. And then, like, when the new rules got announced, you know, I just saw it as a white canvas and a good opportunity to probably officially make that step up into kind of that head coaching role.
Focusing nearly more on the football side of things this year rather than the S&C, or are you buying on the
completely football? No, completely football, yeah. No, I'm very lucky. I've got, you know, Evans Alty and Parana, and like Evan, how you describe, he's like Russell Powell of a beautiful mind with regards game design, and Parana, and then as well working with the individual, coaching the individual within a group setting, and Owen O'Hagan on the goalkeeping side. So yeah, look, having them, and I suppose the main thing we talk about, what we have, is the synergy we have. But I suppose that combined with the new rules, I know we were chatting just off air, is like when it comes to any sport or sports I've been exposed to, I always say that the tradition is definitely what makes a sport, but it's also the number one thing that holds a sport back. And I probably think the rules probably should have been evolved a lot earlier. You look at other sports, their rugby's constantly tinkering with them. You know, AFL now, you have to keep players up. Lacrosse, you have to keep players up. When the three-point line got introduced in basketball, there was no one taking 3 points for the first few years. So, and it was all just to encourage more freer play.
It's amazing. And one of the bigger things you have to work with is space, right? But we saw the big smile on Tommy Childs' face there when he was asked about, you know, what's changed in midfield. And you've got a big 6'5" midfielder, and you've got two big midfielders in Limerick. And you could just tell how much he's loving the fact that the ball is actually just coming his way. Like, it's such a big thing that we went away from. There was just so much lateral play in the game over the last 5 or 6 years. We became so conditioned by it. I think we all just nearly were a bit browbeaten by it. But this year it's been ferocious and it's been fun.
Yeah, look, the key thing with any sport at any age is enjoyment. If you look at the number one reason for dropout at youth sports is peer affiliation, that they don't get to play with their friends. It's the exact same when you come up to this level. The players are to join it, or at the demands and the sacrifices, they're not enjoying it. They're not going to keep coming back. And unfortunately, we've seen it in a lot of counties, you know, over the last decade, especially the development, more tier three, tier four counties as well. So, yeah.
You mentioned synergy, right? And Jimmy Lee comes in and he puts this backroom team together, and he's obviously the head of it, and he has you boys doing what you're doing. How have you managed as a collective to get everything motoring in the right direction this year? Because there's a real momentum behind you.
Yeah, belief. I mean, sometimes we focus on coaching, we focus on some of the technical, tactical aspects, but like, it's only 50%. Only there's a flip side to that coin, and that's the relationships and do they value aspects of it, and do they value the camp, and do they believe in it? So I think for us, do you know what? It could have been an off the ball interview I heard it on, so I'm not going to try coin it. But I think it was an interview with Sam Mulroy I watched last August, and with Loud, and he said you have two options, that he was either going to be the best footballer in Loud, or he's going to whinge about being from Loud, or be the best footballer in Loud, or along those lines. And I think that what Clare football did and what Loud football did in the last 10 years are, I've always said openly, they're very good blueprints for counties like Limerick and other teams working their way up. So what me and Jimmy would have put to the group way back in October was, look, you've two options. You can either whinge about being a footballer from Limerick, or you can be the best in Limerick. And that was the first thing we put forward to him. And the lads took it and they ran with it. And I think there was a level of belief to that. And yeah, I mean, really and truly, we have a very value-driven culture, what we try and have within our mission statement, which is internal to us. But, you know, we just keep focus on the process. Just keep focus on the process.
Yeah, Cal, it's a fascinating sporting career that you've put together so far. We might pick up on it all again. You're back home in Limerick. It's great to see you flying this year, and very best luck in the Tatchett Cup final. You play a brilliant brand of football.
Brilliant. Thanks, Tommy.
Barry Coleman, Limerick vice-captain. We're in the Gaelic grounds ahead of the Tatchett Cup final. Must be a lot of pride in that, being part of this Limerick team that have done so well in 2025.
Yeah, I suppose there is. You know, you think about it, but you don't want to think about it at the same time, especially a week and a bit out. But yeah, look, there has to be a sense of pride being a Limerick footballer playing in Croke Park in July for the third time in a year. You know, I suppose it doesn't happen often. I suppose a lot of people around the country don't associate it with Limerick football either. So yeah, look, there's a massive sense of pride amongst myself, but also pride for the boys, you know, around me as well, that they've helped to get us there.
Yeah, well, I was talking to Tommy Childs about, you know, maybe watching that team in the 2000s going toe-to-toe with Kerry, and it's amazing, you can be right in the mix and then it can suddenly slip away. And I know you were building stuff before under Billy Lee, and it can just be difficult to make it gel and click, but this year there's a real belief and there's a real momentum with you.
Yeah, look, I suppose it's the same in every county. I suppose the turnover of players doesn't help when you're trying to build something. We came in this year, we sat down and discussed what our goals were. Two goals were to get Croke Park twice, it was simple as that. Look, I suppose they're third time, so you can't complain. But yeah, look, the gel, the bond among the players this year, I think is excellent. I don't think it's my fourth year, I haven't had it before, to be honest with you. And yeah, from the young fellas coming in to all fellas, you know, everybody just talking, sitting down, eating together, meeting each other outside of football, because, you know, we see each other 5 days a week, you know.
You need that.
You do, yeah.
You need that little bit of enjoyment. And you can tell as well about the management team and the backroom team. I don't know whether it's with the new rules and the fresh energy and the bit of fun that's in the game now. Maybe it was just the perfect concoction that your group just needed all of that to come together at once. That enjoyment thing is so big as well.
Yeah, it's touched it there. Enjoyment is massively. I suppose you watch football down through the years, it's over. It's boring to watch down through the years, you know, to be fair. As a fan as well, you can say that, and I think the difference this year, the excitement, you know, as soon as you get a ball, win the ball back, turn over, the head's up straight away to see, can you kick it in? Because you instantly have the three boys up there, you know.
You must space.
Yeah, and you know, I think, I suppose, a great addition, you know, you have the likes of Danny there, he gets the ball, all he has in his mind is goal, no matter where he is on the field.
Am I right, Danny's one of the boys who's come back after maybe a little time away?
Yeah, Danny was away, he was in Dubai for a year and a half, so yeah, Danny came back in, and so we're delighted to have him back, I suppose.
Sure, like the goal he scored the last day in Croker, like, it was just such a perfect textbook finish. We saw, actually, a lot of lads, there was a couple of goal chances in Croker on the same weekend, and they were butchered, but he kind of curled it on the inside of the keeper and inside that little post, the first goal.
Yeah, I suppose that's the risk you have if you leave Danny one-on-one with a defender. He's going to take him on, like, you know, he does it in training. He nearly makes a fool out of fellas in training. with how fast he can turn and his ability to finish as well. And I think here in against Wexford as well, the two goals he got, you know, yeah, it was a great finish. You know, I suppose a pressure situation as well. You know, some fellas would nearly put it over the bar, not have the pressure on, but it's a great finish and it was needed at the time, definitely.
It's class, and you can hear that you back each other as well. You know when you let the ball into your forwards in there that you're going to take on their men and going to do damage, because they've done it all year long. You've been playing great football. Can I just ask you finally about yourself, right? You've struggled. There's been a tough run with injuries, and sometimes when you get an injury and you're rehabbing, you come back and next thing, bang, you're having another one. You've had two or three bad ones in a row, but you've also a big role to play in this team, and you've come back in the last couple of weeks and months and played minutes as well. That must have been tough being on the sidelines, and then it must be amazing just to be back.
Yeah, look, I suppose I've kind of touched on it there with Paul and James. It's been such a great year for Limerick football, but for personally, it's been such a difficult year, physically and mentally. You come, you know, you think you're going good, and next thing you get a serious injury, and you work so hard to get back, and then next thing another serious injury. And I suppose you're on the sideline, the team's going so well, and you're nearly thinking, geez, you know, you're not bad in the team, like, but you're nearly jealous, I suppose, that you can't be out there, not out there playing the days that the boys got to play in. Then I suppose you come to realisation, you know, this is all part of the game. Unfortunately, you know, injuries happen to everybody, no matter how much you look after your body. But yeah, look, I suppose around trainings, all I was trying to do when injured was help the lads out whatever way possible. Game days, whether it was throwing in water or, you know, bringing gels, gloves, whatever it might have been. Just trying my best to take a part of the group.
I'm sure they can feel the want and the energy and the hunger hopping off you as well. Do you know, you want to be part of it.
But yeah, so I suppose back, I suppose I had a week of training leading into the semi-final. And on the bench, you're kind of thinking, am I going to get on? When am I going to get on? Then you're called upon.
And you're down by 7 or so at the time. It's about 20 minutes to go when you come in, right?
Yeah, around by 5 or 6 okay. At the time you come on. Then you're down by 7. You're just trying to calm fellas down, you know. You're fresh on the field. So all I wanted was the ball, you know, to try and make something happen. And look, a goal, a two-pointer from Josh, and all of a sudden you're only 2 down.
With the rules,
just
it's amazing.
Like that. Yeah, it's crazy. And, you know, I suppose that's the enjoyment it brings. Nobody's ever out of a game until the final whistle goes. But yeah, look, I was just delighted to get on and to help the lads out. At the end of the day, we won by 4 points, so I need a small part to play.
Well, listen, there's so much that more that goes into it. And we know that from inter-county panels, all the prep and the players as well. I think we all saw with Conor Myler how much it meant to him coming back after 2 years out. You know, you've had a tough couple of months, so it's brilliant to see you, and very best of luck with training over the next couple of days at Croker for the third time as a Limerick footballer this season. Enjoy it. Best of luck.
Thank you very much.
Tommy Childs, Limerick midfielder. How are things?
Not too bad, now yourself.
How are you feeling? You know, a week out from a Tailteann Cup final, you boys are in the groove. You've won 5 games in a row. You've performed down Croke Park against Wicklow in a semi-final, in a league final too. You must be enjoying life.
Oh, we're loving it. Like, it's so enjoyable playing at this level. Anytime you're winning, like, you just love life.
It's class. You aren't fazed by Croker.
No.
You aren't anyway. You've got a goal. You've got a goal or two already, haven't you?
No, it's like a home pitch these days now. Yeah, like, you just have to embrace it when you're playing in Croke Park. Like, it's just, like, when most of us have never played there before in our lives. You watch it on television year on year, and you're saying, if you get a chance to play there, why waste it? Like, you got to really express yourself when you get out on the field up there.
Yeah, it might be a different kettle of fish. I was talking to some of the younger Mead lads over the last couple of weeks, and the Leinster final experience, it was rocking. I think there was 50,000 in it at the time, and you know, the rivalry with Mead and Louth fans was fairly ferocious, and I think they learned a lot that day. And then back in Galway for the double header, I think they were ready for the noise. You're now going to be playing on the same day as Tyrone and Kerry, so you know there's probably going to be times in that game where the noise level is ratcheted to the roof. Are you ready for that, or does it matter?
Yeah, we're not going to be used to that now at all, but I think we're ready for it. Like, we haven't been fazed by a lot this year, and I don't think just a bit of noise is going to faze us. Like, Croke Park, times we played there, even with a small crowd, you realise how much the noise travels inside there, how loud it gets. So hard to communicate with each other on the field. Like, we'd be hoping a lot of that crowd will be Limerick for most of the game. So if we can get them murders up, get behind us, hopefully it works in our favour.
Well, there'll be plenty of green in the stadium anyway with the Kerry fans too, so you can take that one. There was a wee chat at top table with the rest of the lads here, Barry Coleman, Micheál Cahill, Jimmy Lee and yourself, and you're the second the question came to you about are you enjoying the new game, the big smirk across your face nearly matched the height. You're about 6'4" or 6'5", aren't you?
Yeah.
Playing in midfield, you're loving the contest and the combat in the midfield, right?
Oh yeah, sure. Like, well, them is a mullicker. Like, I love, I love taking those hits and getting up for that ball. Like, it just, I find it always brings me into the game a bit more. You know, that bit of contact, that bit of high balls, it's just a reason for me to be around.
We had lost it a bit though, hadn't we, in the game?
Oh, completely. There were so much shot kickouts over the years, and you'd be going through them in training, and you're standing around for half the training session just waiting for the ball to come out to you as well.
Just kidding.
It's a massive change.
Yeah.
Massive change, all right.
Josh Ryan has obviously been a goals hero the last couple of years. Like, getting to know a keeper's kickouts, is that a big thing? Like, what, like, talk to me a little bit about a tackling opposition one and knowing your own. Like, what's the difference there?
Oh, it's nearly easier attacking opposition kickouts. They have to do so much more, right? They have to hit the right spaces and everything. You're just watching the keeper, trying to read him. For your own kickout, you're trying to get him to go to the right side for you, hit the space, get no one on your back. All you have to do, you actually have to win your own kickout. All you have to do in an opposition kickout is put your fist through it and hope it gets to one of your own players.
It's amazing. We've seen the impact that it can have on games as well. We saw the Kerry power drive, Conor Gray come off the bench for me to make a big difference. Jason McGee came into the game for Donegal. It's huge, and like, it's going to be a big platform for you boys as well, because your midfield duo, Young O'Hagan, like, you know, he's a big man as well. So that's a big thing going up against the likes of Kevin Feely in the Kildare midfield.
Yeah, it's like a throwback really to the mid 2000s. Like, you know, your John Quinns and John Galvins, your big men. Like, it was pretty much gone from the game, that kind of a midfielder, and slowly bringing it back in. And you see Dara come in this year, just such a big man, such a unit, and also a footballer as well. Like, it's going to make a big difference, and hopefully we'd be the big part of whatever comes on Saturday week.
What's the club, Gaelte?
Gaelte Gaelte.
And your brother Robbie's on the team as well, obviously. Yeah. You were obviously reared on that Limerick team, who obviously the great underage teams, the turn of the century, and then the going toe-to-toe with Kerry. So you've got John Galvin going up against Dara O'Shea and Scanlon. Like, it was a hell of a team, and it was all aerial contest, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, oh, it's such a better game back then, and we're coming back to it obviously now, some of it. But like, yeah, that was what we watched all the time, all day, every day, pretty much. And yeah, like, it really inspired us to go playing football.
You're loving it. Your team are playing brilliant football. It's great to see it. So keep it up, and very best of luck in Croke Park in the Tatchin Cup final.
Thanks, man.
On this morning's Off the Ball breakfast,
we had some of this.
It was going to be the end of a drought for one of them now. I know a lot smaller.
That wasn't a drought. You didn't have a drought.
You had a little thirst.
Right. They had a hard.
They turned off the taps for about 5 years. That's all that happened. You didn't have a drought.
And we also had this.
I remember going to my local school week before or 2 weeks before All Ireland, and whatever happened, it was a helicopter landing in the pitch across the road. 3 or 4 hours, and this parent came up to me. She goes, when the son came home yesterday and says that David Beckham landed in a helicopter and came to our school today, he said he thinks he just, man says, had the greatest day of his life. Wrong DB.
You can catch everything from this morning's Off the Ball breakfast on the Go Loud app, and every weekday morning from 7:30.